Okay, Nita, we're ready for you, please.
Thank you, Daryl. I'm going to hopefully finish speaking to you about the transcendence of God tonight. I think that understanding these higher understandings of who God is, how he is, etc., really, really helps faith. In the very beginning of my Christian walk, I was praying one night and I said to the Lord, please help my faith. Lord, I believe, but help my faith. And he spoke to me so clearly. He said, Nita, it's not more faith that you need. It is understanding who I am. So I want you to start delving in to that reality, and I will help you. So that's where I've been for years, seeking out to know who he is, what he is, how he is, the beauty of his ways. And I feel like I've only barely touched just, you know, not even the size of your forefinger, all the things that a person really needs to know about the Lord. There's just so much to learn, and he's so beautiful in all of his ways that once you get started, you can't hardly stop. So these things, Ricky is going to read several pages about the transcendence of God that I composed. And we're going to listen to what she's saying and let it sink into our understanding. Because if we can understand these things about him, it will release, it will enable us to release strong portions of our faith to enable God to do all that he wants to do. So please listen. It's not going to be your typical, but I think if you just keep praying in the Spirit and ask God, help me understand this, help me understand this, he will, because he loves you. Okay, Ricky, thank you, honey, for doing this for all of us.
It's my pleasure, Mom.
Louder.
It's my pleasure, Mom.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right, so I'm reading from her. So when I say I'm meaning Mom, not me. So I would like to take a little bit of time here to prepare you for the revelation I received by sharing some essential truths about our Heavenly Father. I have experienced everything I write about here, so this article is not based on human conjecture, but divine instruction, and I trust it will bless you. Transcendent God. His name means God transcends time and space. He is higher than the heavens, deeper than the sea. He is outside of humanity's full experience, perception, or grasp. Nothing is more extraordinary, nor greater or more excellent in measure, not height, depth, broader in width, or older than he. He is more remarkable in dimensions than all. Some scientists say they have discovered 32 dimensions, and I believe it. I saw it 40 years ago in church. So be it. But the transcendent one carries all dimensions, regardless of the number in himself. The transcendent one is revealed in a small way in Psalms 113. It says of him, he is authority, independent of his creation, unbound by space or time. He is infinite, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, and sovereign over all. He transcends all that is, be it spiritual or temporal. The immanence, nearness, or nobleness of God, however, the immanence of God provokes him to express or reveal himself to us to the point he has given man to know him. For this reason, he is knowable, perceivable, or graspable to varying degrees in accordance with his will. I might also say he delights to reveal himself and gave his own son, Jesus, to pave the way for him to make a family of people willing to engage in such a holy offer. Omnipotent, omnipotent, a vital facet or part of his transcendence. God is virtually unlimited authority and power, all powerful, and all authority is his. Now, we will post this on our website. This is me speaking now. And there are probably 20, 22 scriptures that support this. So we just want to make those scriptures available to you. But for the sake of time, I will not read all of those scriptures.
Ricky.
Yes.
Throughout this article, we have about 80 scriptures. And like you said, they will be on our website as an attachment to the article.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. God's omnipotence, Genesis chapter 1, reveals this about him. He created the universe from nothing. His transcendence enters the picture as we see he existed in the beginning, above and beyond the universe. For this reason, he was able to begin to implement the creative work that would enable him to have such a family, as I mentioned earlier. He is revealed in his eternal existence as he is eternal existence. He is eternal existence. God's omnipresence. He is everywhere at all times. Again, there's many scriptures to support this. God's omniscience. He knows all things. He has always known all things and ever will know all things. There is never anything added to his knowledge or wisdom. He is not the creator of these things as man would understand them. He is all these things and more, not permitting man to know what would limit his power and authority and his ability, not anything that could hurt the whole human race. The above is only a tiny revelation of the greatness of our God. The revelation. One day in 1992, I lay in my bed meditating upon the Lord. As I had done several times in the past, I softly asked the Father to let me experience his transcendence. This time, almost immediately, he overwhelmingly and all-powerful Holy Spirit came in like a mighty divine tempest and took me into himself to grant me the answer to my request. God's transcendence became my only experience during the whole revelation. It seemed we shot through the present moment to the ages of at the beginning of measured time, then back beyond knowable history, seemingly at the speed of light. Soon after we entered therein, we seemed to burst through a spiritual barrier to time immemorial and beyond into timelessness again at the speed of light. Still moving through timeless space, we entered the eons of what seemed like a more incredible expanse of ageless space. This place, if you will, was not history, nor was it the future, but just being. It was an existence I might call the beginning of the beginning. None but the Godhead existed there. Because there is nowhere, God is not, it was impossible to know how I arrived from one place to another. So for lack of vocabulary to help me, I say the above, considering what I felt I was experiencing. Notwithstanding, I was aghast. I use the term here, time immemorial, in the broadest sense to speak of a time before the creation of all things. Now, during this revelatory trip, I did feel the sense of movement, the supremely rapid movement taking me from my room to the beginning of measured time to time immemorial, a time, if you will, that predates all creation, Genesis 1 to John 1, 1 through 3. At that place, I encountered the ever-living, eternal God, our Father, with whom there is no beginning and no end. I felt all the dimensions of his holiness I could bear in myself in a fraction of a second. I knew a place where there was no beginning, no end, timelessness all around it, every dimension, a place where all knowing was a reality. Not so much as I could bear. I was in the world of spirit life where all our known senses, as it were, would normally offer measures of protection that here were absent. If I experienced any of his virtues at that time, I do not know. Perhaps I experienced many, I do not know. But I immediately understood that the transcendent one was showing himself to me in the form of a self-revelation as I had requested. I returned knowing, for instance, that he does not have virtues. He is the beginning and end of all virtues. All virtues are his and begin only in him. Some qualities and characteristics that speak of this reality are he is holy, he is love, he is power, he is authority, he is truth, he is light, he is goodness, and he is life, all of which transcends as all that is spiritual and temporal. Even so, he is all that I did not mention. In him are all things. And all things are his, and all things he is. That's incredible. I'm not talking about a piece of candy and the like, but all things that have their life in him. The minute I understood this truth, I returned to my room by his will. The Lord spoke, saying, I just allowed you to experience my transcendence. The end of the matter. Now you know a bit more about God, our Father, and his beloved Son, who rules over all by the blessed Holy Spirit. However, you might ask why I need to know this about him. I am that I am, the transcendent God. El, his Hebrew name, is the same as the Holy God. Ha El Hakadosh, God who is holy, or the Holy God. Or, I love this one, Adonai, Elohai, Kadosh, Kadashi, the Lord is my holy God, Yahweh. I am that I am. Another name for Yahweh, phonetic sound, is Yihyar, Yishay, Yihar. The pure... Mom, can you come off mute and say that?
I was trying to get Danny's... Danny's attention.
I'm like, I am butchering this.
Yir yer, asher, yir yay. I am that I am.
Thank you. The pure and simple meaning is, he is all and he created all. All that is in him, he is in all things. This can be true because, among other things, he is transcendent and holy. The very word holy means, among other things, that the Godhead is separated from all things created. He is the very essence and excellence of moral purity. I believe that it is the moral purity that stands out so strong when he is near. He feels so clean. Holiness means sacred, perfect, sure, pure, freedom from sin and darkness, sanctity, innocence, sacred, just and justice, author of life and love. The fear of the Lord is equal to the terror of his holiness and truth. There is none equal to or like him. Another beloved name, Kodesh Yisrael, meaning the Holy One of Israel. God is moral perfection, moral excellence. We see this in Isaiah 30, verse 11. The same distinction is true. God does not have moral perfection. He is moral perfection. All moral perfection finds its life in him. We, on the other hand, can be highly moral, but are not the essence of the same. Again, there's many more scriptures that we'll include in an attachment. Let us look at another of his many noble names. Adonai Elohai Kadoshi, meaning the Lord, my holy God, found in Hebrews 1:12. Finally, one more of his majestic names, Ha'el HaKadosh, Isaiah 5:16, the holy God. The reality we see in tiny measure is that you cannot separate our transcendent God from his attribute of his glorious holiness. He is transcendent because he is holy, and holy because he is transcendent. Seeing all his impeccable word teaches us about himself, but we still may not understand what an experience of being in the presence of his manifested transcendence or holiness would reveal to our senses. I will briefly attempt to capture that for you. His transcendence reveals his timelessness. One thing immediately becomes very real: the nothingness of all else but God, the beginning and end of all things created. He becomes our only focus. You may or may not feel the time travel aspect of this visit, but he alone would determine that. You would undoubtedly experience the awe of his moral excellence. The vastness of his timeless existence may grip you to momentary unconsciousness. I'm not sure one could endure more than that. However, I do suspect you would come away with more aware. You would come away more aware than ever of his impeccable purity, his greatness, his fullness of justice and righteousness. Your minute understanding of his incomparable power. None is greater than he, and the sober reality revealed is that he is truth. His holiness, again, none could bear the full and complete revelation of his holiness, not even the highest archangels, angels of his presence, or the seraphim that hover over him day and night, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Remember, with two wings, they cover their faces to shield them from the glorious radiance of his holiness. Not even the living creatures can bear it in full measure, as they likewise cry out to the Lord God Almighty. Therefore, in his mercy, he provides a protective shield so that they can bear what he is willing to reveal. His immeasurable and majestic purity revealed in his holiness is too much for any created being. Although his holiness is also luminous, as it is light and spirit, as it is transcendent, the former being an attribute, the latter the essence of his presence. His holiness seems to bear an unqualified and unique darkness that does not necessarily look dark. It seems like a place of endless and untold mysteries that more than spans time immemorial. It is exhilarating, yet overwhelming in its gravity, compelling, ardent, and passionate worship. You cannot help but worship from the depths with a constant inner plea that Christ alone is worthy to worship our most glorious God and Father. Therein is the hiding place of his imperial power. What can or does all this mean to you? Number one, God, who is in all his splendor, in which he is willing to reveal himself, is worthy of our love and effort to know him as we are known. Of course, the above is but a minute fragment of who he is, albeit a wonderful portion at that. Number two, knowing these things about him, if we will meditate on them, will enlarge and strengthen our faith immeasurably. Number three, let me be as a harbinger of sorts, introducing the coming one. As I unfold what little I know, I hope it will inspire you in holy respect and honor of our King of Glory, thereby provoking you to a higher walk than you might come to know him more intimately. Number four, the evil one loves to inhabit your faith and convince you that he is all-powerful so he can overcome you. The Lord wants you to know the truth. Jesus said, "Knock, and the door will open." He said he is the true door through which we walk to know the Father as well as the Son as the ever-living God. Jesus paid the price on the cross to make an open door for you, the believer, to enter in to know the great Father, creator of all. If that knowing seemed so great a value to the Father and Son, we can safely assume that the value is incomparable to us as well. One last encouragement I offer is to encourage you to develop a prayer and word life, as that is the only way to intimacy with our God. I bless you. All right, Mom. Thank you for letting me read it.
Thank you, honey. You did a wonderful job. I hope others online could hear the heart of what she was reading. These amazing things are not the kinds of things that God usually will reveal to babes in Christ, or people that are not pretty mature, because it's like they just pick your mind apart, you know, and the puzzle fractures and you can't figure out how to put it back together. But for some reason, he's letting us know. He's helping us to understand the God with whom we long to have intimacy. But why did I bring all this to you tonight? Simply this. God wants to give planet Earth a major chance of salvation, a major opportunity to receive the reality of the living God before he releases major judgment. When he is finished with what he wants to do to procure the soul of every willing heart, Satan will bring his kingdom in like a flood, and God will allow it. He will allow it to grab attention to the one who thought that they would prefer the ways of the world over the holiness and love of God. There will be a brief bit of warfare that will go on, and then God is going to take his church home. But what we will be going home to is called heaven. What will be there is what we were being taught to live in our days on earth. The beauty, the magnificence, the majesty, the nobility, the environment of utter truth by which you can learn to trust and have faith like you've never known before. You'll meet friends, relatives, people that were very important in your life who went on to be with him before we did. And it will all be so wonderful. Christ will be the reigning King, Lord, the Son of God, continuing to reveal the Father to those who are in heaven eternally, if that is not amazing. So because we're getting ready to go through a very rich time of his blessing on earth, that will be followed by the kingdom of the evil one making a greater sound, you might say, a greater appearance of his own kingdom. And you will look at one and you will see the ugliness of it. You'll feel the ugliness of it. And you'll want to run to hide yourself in God's own kingdom. And as you make that journey, he will be within you, empowering you, revealing to you the things you need to know until the very time that was meant to take place in your life where you will physically feel and understand the kingdom that you will live in throughout eternity. So he's beginning to release these little things about himself, which to us seem mega, so that we can be completely ready for him and be enclosed with a protection that the enemy cannot burrow through. So I want to encourage you to use this just as a starting point. Ask the Lord to take these scriptures and the things that Ricky read and to make them real to your heart. And as you do that, your life will utterly change. Okay, I think I'm going to move on. I trust you enjoyed that. I thought Ricky did a tremendous job. But let's go to worshiping God. And then on to Israel. The Lord appeared to me once, just actually kind of recently, I think it was in 2024, and asked me to teach the church to love Israel. And that's why I'm making my Jewish heritage known in a more real way so that I can talk to you about Israel from God's perspective and from the perspective of a Jewish person. So you can grow to love Israel like he loves you. So I hope you'll enjoy the things that we do and open up to you in areas that you haven't really known what to or how to do, what you would like, and that they'll help your Christian walk. Okay, worship God only. And we're going to pray a little bit over Israel. Father, we look to you. We hear the report of you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that we live in a day and age that we can hear the report of our living God? Tonight we heard the report of you. And we thank you for it. We thank you that you continue to reveal yourself to us. Continue to deposit in our hearts the higher love for the greater knowledge of our God. May we always bring you honor with everything you teach us, with everything you show to us, all the goodness you want to show and display. May we always bring you honor through the things you reveal. You are wonderful, Father, kind and generous, tender-hearted. Who is there like you? I think none except the Son and the Holy Spirit, who are so willing to reveal yourself, your very self to us, and help us learn to love you more than we've ever loved you before. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the way you cut open our heart and pour in the deposits that give us to know the divine life of Christ in ways we've never known how to know before. That everything we do, he will inspire and he will enable. And he will bring the glory to the Father. We thank you for that. We thank you that you're here with us. We never have a need in this life that you will not meet. But there are a lot of ministries on the earth that will tell the church that. But there is the second part, maybe should be considered the first part, really. There is never anything in or about you that we will ever need that you will not give in due season. Because you love your children. Help us tonight to pray the prayer points. Help us to hear your voice and to feel what you're feeling about these issues, and giving us the knowledge and understanding so we can pray aright. In your precious name, how we love you. Amen.